This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Welcome to Lingua Franca on ABC Radio National. I'm Jill Kitson. This week, Sounds Irish. Dimpna Lonigan with the second of two programmes on the Irish language in Australia. Dublin-born Irish speaker Dimpna Lonigan immigrated to Australia in 1972. Over the years, she's made a study of the Irish language here. Now her surprising findings have been published in her book Sounds Irish. Surprising because few of the Irish immigrants to Australia in the late 18th and 19th centuries spoke English. Their native language was Irish, which turns out to have been a rich source of Australianisms. Even such true blue words as Sheila, Brumby and Didgeridoo. Here's Dimpna Lonigan.
The English language was probably not heard on the continent of Australia before 1770. Unlike most other dialects of English, Australian English can be traced to its beginnings, and we can see clearly how the language began to develop according to this or that influence. English speakers who came to Australia experienced many new things for which they had no words, or for which existing words were not suitable, and so English in Australia began to take on unique characteristics. Australia's distinctive English vocabulary also includes words from Indigenous Australian languages, such as the names for landscape items, flora and fauna, weapons, customs and traditions that were new to the colonisers. Another influential factor was the type of English used by the early convicts and settlers. When we think of the convict population and how it outnumbered that of the authorities, we can imagine that lower-class English might have flourished in the general English of Australia in a way that would have been unthinkable in Britain. Traditionally, people aspire to speak correctly and will copy the speech of the dominant class. However, in early European Australia, there was such an imbalance in the population that the dominant influence was the lower classes, and this accounts for many characteristics of Australian English, especially slang. Many of these lower-class convicts were Irish, especially after the 1798 rebellion in Ireland, when hundreds of Irish defenders were transported to New South Wales. Samuel Marsden, known as the Flogging Parson, wrote of them, "The number of Catholic convicts is very great, and these in general composed of the lowest class of the Irish nation, who are the most wild, ignorant, and savage race. Those from the rural areas of Ireland were indeed ignorant of the English language. The Irish brought their native language with them to Australia and used it in everyday life. It was their natural form of greeting and the language that spoke their emotions. The language reflected their culture, values, and beliefs. That language was Irish. The English they spoke was picked up on board the ship transporting them to Australia or after they arrived in the penal colony." Translating from Irish to English was one way the Irish brought new words into Australian English. The other way was in their use of non-standard English. The Irish were a large enough group that spoke non-standard English without being aware of it to have influenced the development of non-standard English in Australia. The unorthodox use for you plural, the pronunciation phylum, the sentence tag but, and the letter H are some examples. Many typically Australian words and phrases also derive from Irish, and some may surprise you. Sheila, for example, sounds like a popular Irish girl's name. It's not. Brumby and didgeridoo are often claimed as words coined in Australia. Not so. Let's investigate their origins in turn. Sheila, spelled S-H-E-L-A, was first recorded in 1828 in the Sydney newspaper The Monitor, where Sheila and Paddy are recorded as counterparts. The newspaper was reporting on a St. Patrick's Day parade in Sydney, where it seems many a piteous Sheila stood wiping the gory locks of her Paddy. From this entry, it has been assumed that the word Sheila represents the Irish female, as Paddy represents the male. These are not counterparts in Ireland, however, and even the name Sheila is not a very popular Irish name. For instance, there were no Sheilas on board the convict ships. On board other ships were male convicts, and I suggest that here lies the source of the Australian word Sheila. In the English of Ireland, the word Sheila is a term for a male who is effeminate or who spends too much time in women's company. It comes from the Irish language. In Irish, however, the word Sheila has a stronger meaning. It's a word for a male homosexual. A word that was so secret that it appeared in an Irish language dictionary for the first time in the 1990s. In Australia, the word surfaced in response to an experience unknown by many rural Irish Catholic men. Those transported Irish convicts would have experienced not only a change in landscape and climate, but also a way of life that was new and no doubt alienating. Especially in those early days when there was a shortage of females and with the nature of a convict's life in the penal colony, work such as washing clothes, cooking and cleaning would have fallen to the male. It may be that those who were seen to be doing this work well, or who may have taken undue interest in it, would have been ridiculed for demonstrating effeminacy. It may also have been that in this climate the term Sheila was applied to males by males. However, given the double use of the word Sheila in Ireland to denote not just effeminacy but also homosexuality, we must conclude that the surfacing of this Irish word in Australia may have been prompted by stress, when emotion would instinctively produce a word from the primary language. Many Irish convicts under the system of transportation to Australia were men from rural areas, brought up with social norms, some of which were peculiar to their own small part of the world. Homosexual activity was common on board the convict ships and later in Australia. In Hyde Park Barracks in Sydney, young boys especially were preyed upon by old lags. Irish-speaking convicts had a word for a person who took part in homosexual activity. He was a Sheila. This was a word that was known and understood among the Irish convicts and could be passed on to others, but yet was a secret word and so safe to use, even in the hearing of the authorities. The circumstances that were favourable to the utterance and continued use of the Irish language word Sheila in Australia were the reversal of male-female domestic roles, homosexual activity of a violent nature, and strong religious beliefs. Here's another word, Brumby. The Australian Brumby is a wild horse, much loved for its high-spirited nature. Some origins have been suggested for this word, but none are as satisfactory as the suggestion that Australian Brumby represents the Irish word Brummy, the plural form of the word for a young horse or colt. Young Irish men who like to play the field are also known as Brummy. The word is used to describe a strong young man or an awkward young man. In Ireland, the word Brummy is found in its rural sense and also as part of idioms. It makes sense that the ordinary Irish word for a young male horse would be used in Australia, and that this new word would be taken up as an apt one for a new experience. This Irish connection has been missed, because it's little understood that 18th and 19th century Irish in Australia spoke a language other than English. Irish speakers were likewise responsible for naming the flat wooden stick used in the game two-up. They called it a stick, a kippeen, a word starting with a C. It was later shortened to kip and is now written with an initial K in Australian English. Then there's the Australian phrase to crack on to someone, meaning to chat someone up for the purpose of having sexual relations. It's well-known Australian slang. It resonates with Irish language speakers because it resembles boola crackin', sexual intercourse, and is most likely the source of the Australian slang expression. Perhaps the most surprising of the disguised Irish words in Australian English is the doodaridoo that became the didgeridoo. The Australian National Dictionary records the first dictionary entries for the word didgeridoo in 1919, surprisingly late in the history of European Australia. In the 1967 entry, F.T.A. McCartney suggested that the name didgeridoo is imitative of the sound of the instrument. McCartney also suggested that didgeridoo is not an Aboriginal word, and this view is now standard. The didgeridoo instrument is found mainly in the upper half of Australia. As there are many Aboriginal languages in Australia, so there are numerous Aboriginal words for this musical instrument. Some examples are bambi, bombo, ilpra, and yiddily. None of these words, however, resembles the word didgeridoo. Although the word didgeridoo is not from an Australian language, it still sounds Australian. It resembles other familiar Australian names such as cockadoo, jackaroo, kangaroo, socceroo, and place names such as woolloomooloo. Naturally, then, the origin of the word as being anything other than native Australian is a difficult concept to accept. But the early claim of the word being imitative is also weak. The sound of the word didgeridoo hardly represents the repetitive drone or hum that we associate with this instrument. If the word didgeridoo is not an Australian word and does not represent the instrument sound, the word must come from somewhere else. Both Irish and Scots Gaelic have the word dúdra, which cognates with the word dúd, a pipe. The word dúdra is used in the English of Ireland today to mean an incessant pipe smoker or an inquisitive person. The official Irish English dictionary refers to a long-nosed person and the sound of crooning or droning. Dineen's 1904 Irish English dictionary provides his translation of dúdra, a trumpeter or hornblower, blowing of a horn, act of crooning or humming. The word dúdra is a trisyllabic word, pronounced dúdra or dúdjura. Irish and Scots Gaelic also have the word for black, pronounced dúv or dú, and also the word dú, native or hereditary. It's possible that the distinctive Australian sound of didgeridoo is in fact an Irish one. It may be that Irish or Scots Gaelic speakers gave the name didgeridoo to the person playing the native instrument, and that later the word became associated with the instrument. This theory would explain the curious incompatibility between the word didgeridoo and the sound of the instrument. The Irish may have been more interested in the person who played the instrument than in the instrument itself, perhaps, in admiration for the artistry it takes to produce the didgeridoo sounds. The Irish are a strong musical nation whose history extends as far back as the Bronze Age and ancient horns. The drone of such musical instruments was a familiar sound, but the method of playing was not. It's no wonder that Irish speakers who travelled Australia would have spread the word about the talented black or native trumpet player, or didgeridoo. The vibrant and talkative Irish spread around the country with their native Irish language and their free and easy English. They pluralised the second personal pronoun as yous, because that construction was available to them in their own language. They put an extra syllable into the word film, because in their native language, back-to-back consonants are pronounced as if there was an intervening vowel. They entered their sentences with the little word ach, translated as but, and this tag is still heard in some parts of Australia today. But it is mainly their contribution to iconic Australian English words that should be acknowledged. Never rich enough to be a founding people in the New Worlds, the Irish nevertheless found that they could offer new sounds for new experiences. So let me end with the Australian term shouting, as in paying for a round of drinks. The first recording of its use is in the Adelaide Almanac of 1850, where it says that shouting signifies paying for 9 nobblers, 4 spiders, various glasses, and an indefinite quantity of blunted, stunted items called by courtesy cigars. The Irish brought the term from their native language. The Irish word gleach means to call or to shout, and the phrase gleach ar yuch translates to call or shout for drink. Irish speakers translating from Irish to English picked the word shout as a translation for gleach, and the phrase took off in Australia, perhaps because shouting in a noisy bush pub was the only way to get an order.
Dimphna Lonergan, of Flinders University in Adelaide. Her book, Sounds Irish, The Irish Language in Australia, is published by Lithram Press. And that's all for this week's Lingua Franca.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.